हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 34. Okay, so now the question is it actually that Vishnu is what's to be known by studying the Veda, right? That's the doubt, right? So then, now, Sutra 114. Tattu samanvayata. But Vishnu is the conclusion because of the agreement of other scriptures as well. So it's not just he's saying it, but it's just the standard in the scriptures. Harassing everybody.
When they want attention.
Yeah, no, that's... The word too, but, is used to refute the objection about karma. It has been said that Vishnu is to be known by all the Vedas. Why? Because of correlation, logical connection, samvayata, bringing about a conclusion. Samanvaya means to consider the meaning very carefully. Footnote 27. Samanvayat in this sutra means because the scriptures themselves bring us to this conclusion. The word anvaya means understanding the actual meaning. And the word samanvaya means perfect understanding after careful deliberation, right? Because that's what we want. We want that kind of focus. Right? It's not that we're just coming to some conclusion because it's good for us. We're coming to a conclusion because that's what is supposed to be. You understand? We're not looking for our feelings in the Shastra. We're looking in the Shastra what should be our feelings. You understand? That's the whole thing. We may have one idea, but then when the Shastra says something different, we change our idea. Not that we try to rationalize it or try to adjust the Shastra. Right? So that's why he says two, right? The but. Right? So that's the basis. Is if what you know is said by the Acharya, what Prabhupada says, what the Acharyas say, the scriptures say, when we accept that, then we'll be on the right path. But if we're simply looking for what is our interest in the Shastras, then yes, we'll get some certain parts right, but our whole thing won't be right. Right? That's why it says the what do you say? Perfect understanding after careful deliberation. Not establishing what I want to think about by, you know, doing a little bit of homework. Right? So it's slightly different. Yes?
Does this careful deliberation mean
Yes. It means you would be after careful deliberation. Right? Because perfect understanding means you can apply it, you can realize it, you can see it. Right? That's what we were discussing before. Right? So it says one should be able to bring that to the point of realization. Yeah. Yes?
I just want to know, are the footnotes, are they composed by Baladeva Vijayabhushanan, or are they somebody else's footnotes?
Maybe a variety. Like the next one is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes it's Jiva Goswami. Sometimes we're putting in things that are from the commentary. See, is that in this? It means we'll I say. English being a language that doesn't have a recognizable father, right? So, therefore, it does not have grammar, right? Grammarians, because of their need to establish grammar, have, you could say, applied grammar onto English. And, you know, because it is a language, you can kind of make it fit. You know, it's just like, Charlie Chaplin, his shoes were too big. So to make them fit, he actually wore the left shoe on the right and the right shoe on the left. That's how he kept them on his feet. Otherwise, that big a shoe will fall off. Right? So that's the difficulty. So because of that, then grammatical understanding of the language is not actually a popular usage. You know, those who may go to Oxford, Yale, that kind of school, then they'll have some knowledge of the grammar and they can use it. You know, if something's there, they can tell you what's wrong. Oh, but this is this and that and some of the things. But for your general language, it's not there. But other languages, generally, they have a grammar that goes with it. So because of the grammar, that's how it's spoken, that's how it's done. Right? That's how it's used. So then, because of that, then naturally Sanskrit being the original, right? In this case, the original formal language. We could probably say Brajbhasa is the original language, but because of the formality of it, then that is, you could say, is the you know, official language, you know, of the spiritual world, right? So then it has a grammar, and from that all other languages come. So in explaining it, that the words actually are connected to what they're speaking about, right? So in English it could be anything. You know, it's like, what's the root of chair? What does it mean? You know, but in Sanskrit it'll be that which keeps you off the ground. You understand what I mean? So therefore, in the logic, usage of grammar is very, very prominent, especially in when you're dealing with Nyaya Shastras and like that. So the grammatical explanation is very big. So in the Vedanta Sutra and in the Sandarbhas, it will be a very major aspect. But because it's not used in English much, therefore we see Gopi Puranadana, he just leaves it out. Right? Prabhupada also will bring it in now and again. He'll say, you know, in this verse, this word is significant. That's because it's the subject in the subjective case, so it shows that's the main point that's going on. But for us, it doesn't come out so much like that. But in Sanskrit, it's very exact. So then we're trying to bring in those things like that. So it'll be from the commentary, someone's commentary, but who's compiled it has put it together in a way that he feels it could be understood. Okay, so if it says, you know, Vishwanath or Prabhupada or Jiva or Baladev said, then that means it's them. And if it's just a general point, that means it's we put that in there. Does that make sense?
Who?
We means who works on the thing.
Oh.
Like that. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So then but in here all the main text that will always be Baladev, and then he's quoting from other places. But when we're doing the Bhagavatam, the main text that will be either what we'll be saying or the verses are like that, and then only if it's mentioned it'll be someone else. Acha? Okay. Then Vishnu is to be known in the Vedas because that is the conclusion of the scriptures. By careful consideration, after using the six elements, upakrama, etc., that means the tatparyalingas, okay, previously mentioned. Otherwise, how are scriptural statements such as the Lord is praised in the Vedas and Gopal Tapani Upanishad possible? Right? Because what is praised then is prominent. Does that make sense? Like that. So if something is brought out the uniqueness, if something's repeated, if something is, how do you say?
Beginning and end.
I'm just thinking, is that this guy... He's a wild cat, actually. He's not a domesticated cat, so he really doesn't know how to, how you say, reciprocate attention. Okay. Okay. The lotus-eyed Lord also says, Vedais cha severaham eva vedyo, Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. I alone am to be known in all the Vedas. I have made the Vedanta and am the knower of the Vedas. So he's saying it's him. He is the main point. Right? He is what's actually to be known. So here the Lord himself says that that's what it is. Right? So let alone the point that now Bhaktivedanta is bringing that out in the Vedanta Sutra. Right? What do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? Oh, we seem to... Oh, no, he's here. You want to perform your service?
I already clipped him
out. Oh, we already took him out already. Yesterday at work, we took him outside. Today it didn't work. He caught on. Okay. What do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. Oh, so this is his like purport of what Krishna is saying here.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is gone from verse.
Okay. These are okay. So that was the Gita verse, and these two are the Bhagavatam. Oh, okay. Oh, 11th canto. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. So here Krishna is then speaking. Okay.
Thank you.
He has a slightly different approach. That's definitely going to leave more of a samskar.
It froze.
Huh?
It froze.
Oh, no, they always do when they do that. Yeah, they always do.
Amazing how cats, when they picked up on the scruff of the neck, they just got
No, it's how many people can pick them up? Okay, what do the Vedas instruct as action? So this is Krishna speaking, right? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. So that means only the Lord and the devotees know. No one else knows. So it means all the six schools of Vedanta, or the six Vedic schools, no one knows. And of the six schools of Vedanta, only the Vaishnavas know. So that means Shankara doesn't know. He knows, but the way he's writing it is so his followers still don't know. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that no one knows except him. So that means what is instructed in the Vedas as far as action, what are the goals of the Vedas, and what alternatives does the Vedas give? Because you always have is that this is what's ideal, but if you can't do that, this is the alternative. Like in Gita, Krishna says, best is you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, you just surrender. Mm-hmm. Like that, on the spot. That's what you're supposed to do, so by doing that, it's done. Right? Then next, if you can't do that, then follow the rules and regulations of the Pancharatra. Right? The Pancharatric system, or the laws that regulate your life. That's your next point. Right? And if you can't do that, then you perform your duties as described in Varnashram and give the result to him. And if you can't do that, then just do your duties in Varnashram and be a nice guy. You know, give charity, open hospitals, you know, do all the good things. And if you can't do that, then you can be an impersonalist. If you know, really know all their alternative. But better than that's meditating in the Lord. Better than that is actually serving the Lord. Right, so Krishna is talking about the alternatives, how it works. But all the alternatives are to bring you to Krishna consciousness, right? Because if you can surrender immediately, Krishna consciousness is obtained. If not, you follow the rules and regulations. What are those rules and regulations? Those are rules and regulations given by the Lord and then given to us by the acharyas, by the devotees. So it's not a matter of speculation or create your own. Right? They're already established. Now it's a matter of being intelligent and working them into the situation. That means you have faith in them. Not that you, oh, that doesn't work, so we throw that out. No, it's always kept. But the point is we can't fully surrender. So, but our purpose in following the rules and regulations is to surrender. Right? And then if you can't do that, then we're following the rules and regulations because the benefit we'll get from it. And then we're sharing that result with Krishna. Right? So you're still following what Krishna has recommended, but now the mentality is not such that you're necessarily using the recommended mentality of surrender. So finally there's surrender. There's a sense of I and mine, but there is surrender at the end. Right? You can't do that, then at least be a nice guy. Right? So why are you being a nice guy? Because you're following the Vedic authority. You're following God's laws. Though your interest is only for yourself, but at least you're respecting God's position of it's His laws. And if you can't do that, then, you know, because that's such a broad range of things, it takes some more understanding to do, then you just act in a place where you're just detached from everything and don't do any work at all. Still according to Vedic recommendation. So at least you respect that, but you're unable to appreciate action. Right? Because you don't want to get involved in the material world. Fair enough. But then the problem is why is it considered lower in this case? Because those kind of individuals have a problem in engaging the senses in the Lord's service. Because to them, any engagement in the senses is maya. You understand? So sometimes, you know, devotees taking prasad, one devotee is going, wow, this is really nice, the prasad. And some other devotee go, well, that's maya, you know, that's sense enjoyment. Where is that coming from? That's coming from their impersonal background. I don't mean impersonal background meaning that they were, you know, a Brahmavadi or Mayavadi. Personal background meaning being non-Vedic. Right? They can't distinguish using the senses for Krishna. Not, their point is if you're using the senses, that's sense gratification. Well, no. When the senses are engaged, connected to Krishna, that's devotional service. When the senses are engaged without Krishna, that's sense gratification. So there's a lack of intelligence there. Even though the path of impersonal is supposed to be for intelligent men, this is a unique form of it in that without intelligence, they're impersonalists. So that's even more difficult. Right? You know, a Mayavadi with no brains, that's tough. Because, you know, there's no intelligence and there's no sentiment. What do you work with, you know, other than a cricket bat or something? You know?
Maharaj, yeah. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, you see that the Jnani is much better than
the Wait. So, just as, because we're on this verse and it did use the word two, okay? So, what is your intent in bringing this up? Because you used the word but. So, according to here, but is what you use to defeat the other argument. So, do you want to defeat this argument, or do you want to understand what's going on?
No, I just want to understand that, Jnani is better than Karma. But
how is he better?
Means he renounced. You know,
he's renounced. Yeah. Okay. So, it's the renunciation, it's not the intelligence. This is not... Yeah, I was just waiting for the but. You know, it's like, what? Our whole academy just, you know, crashed and burned there. You know, it's just, you mean I'm in the same boat as that guy out with a little hat in the rice field, you know? Oh, no. That's not going to work. Yeah. Yeah. You understand? They're using their intelligence to understand that material world doesn't give any happiness, so they give up the material world. So on that level, it's a higher level. But as far as actually understanding the personal concept of Godhead and devotional service, they're actually in a lower position because in their mind, anything that is action has to be maya. You understand? Very, very typical. Like that. You see that? All religions, they do that. If there's anything nice, then it must be maya. But the whole point is, no. When it's connected to Krishna, it's not maya. Right? You know, Prabhupada's in Regent Park, they're feeding the ducks, okay? Now, those ducks are sitting there and rolling in ecstasy and saying, wow, prasad, you know, like this is unattainable. You know, even Lord Shiva is having problem getting it and this and that. And Maya Devi, she did so much austerities to get the Maha Prasad. And here, you know, we're being given and not even just that, but the hands of the pure devotee. This, that, you know, that's what the ducks are thinking. For the ducks, it's just, this is food. This is pure anamoy. That's it. There's no other consideration. And Prabhupada said, next birth, they'll be human. So that's the whole thing. This is where the crux comes in. You connect it to Krishna, it's not Maya. You don't connect it to Krishna, it's Maya. But we'll use that. No, I can maintain my attachments because here I can connect my senses to Krishna's devotional service. So where are we putting the emphasis? On the connection or on the secondary form that we're connecting?
Connection.
No, on the secondary form. If it's on the connection, that's pure devotional service is on the connection.
Yeah.
But when we're trying to rationalize our attachments, we're putting on, oh, see here, you can engage us. It means Priyavrata, you know, he's engaging his family, his everything like this in the Lord's service, the interaction with his wife and family is all, see how nice and all that is. So see, we're doing that, we're doing devotional service. But the focus is not on the connection. The Bhagavatam is showing he's connecting that. That's what's there. And that detail, that's not the full detail. That's only enough detail that you understand what the topic is. Right? You want to see the full topic, you look in the other scriptures. But it's enough that you understand that down to that level, the husband and wife are sitting, talking together, enjoying each other's company. But understanding the principle, the masculine and feminine principle, is coming from the Lord. That interaction is coming from Him. That's why it's enjoyable. Because it's Him. So there's a difference in where you focus. You know, is it on that? And that's why it's there. So therefore you're following what's there. It's not that, okay, I'll say the right things so I make it continue because it makes me happy. I say the right things because it continues, because this is actually the nature of the relationship. It's very different mentalities. But externally it'll look exactly the same. And not only that, the one that follows what the Vedanta says will actually do a better job. You understand? So where your focus is, that's the but. Right? Because the point is if intelligence is used, so let's say the element of IQ that you are discriminating is very well developed, fine. But if in doing that you can't see its connection to Krishna, that puts them in a lower state. Right? Let us say this. Okay, I take the kid off the street. I ask him what 2 plus 2 is. And he goes, 5. Right? Okay, you think, okay, he's a kid, he's not trained. Then we're walking down the street. Then we bump into the professor down at the university. Right? Like that. We say, what's 2 plus 2? And he goes, 2 plus 2, 22. Okay? Now that's more thought out, more that he used, the sangati there. Well, I mean, not the you had the where you put together, samas, samasti, and vyasti. So he did that, right? So you can see that more intelligence was used than the kid used, right? So he came up and technically a better answer, because what is 2 and 2 and 5 got to do with each other? But 2 and 2 and 22, now that has a little bit more of some meaning. But is the answer actually any better?
No.
So which is worse? That little kid, that 5-year-old kid not knowing the answer, or the professor not knowing the answer?
Professor.
Okay, so therefore, that's why in this consideration, Jnana is considered lower. Because someone so smart can't tell the difference between spiritual action and material action. So their only idea is that no action it can be spiritual. That's why in this case, coming from karma can be an advantage. See, for understanding the philosophy, coming from a background of jnana will be easier. But for understanding the religion, they'll be at a disadvantage. You understand? Yeah, so that's the problem, because we don't make that distinction. Then, because they'll do great in the philosophy, we think that they'll actually understand Varnashram, but sometimes it's not. The really smart guys, when you talk philosophy, sometimes they don't understand Varnashram at all. And people that are committed right into Varnashram, sometimes they can't understand philosophy. Right? So to be able to use both, because in the West you have it's right side brain, left side brain, and all this kind of thing. In the Veda, they don't talk about it. They talk about them both together. They cultivate both sides of the brain, right? Why? Because they start with science, add art. so you get both sides working. Well, the modern, you start with art, right? And so therefore those guys never get to science. And the other guys that have a scientific brain, they can't understand because it's art, so they never get anywhere. So therefore we consider them, you know, how do you call it, socially dysfunctional. Right? So the Vedic doesn't get by all that. So, yes.
In the hierarchy of surrender that you mentioned, the best thing you said is the first coming to Krishna consciousness, just immediately surrender to Krishna.
Yeah.
And the second thing is follow the rules and regulations.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, how would one immediately surrender to the, if he doesn't know step the second?
No, but the gopis, they just saw Krishna and they're attracted. They surrendered. Muchakunda surrendered in a moment. The wives of the yajnik brahmins surrendered in a moment. They're the examples of what Krishna says is the best option. Because
okay.
Krishna is just so attractive. You just come in the temple, you see the deity, wow, okay, you surrender. So if you can't do that, then you do the second alternative, which is, you know, what process that Prabhupada and the acharyas give us. Because you can surrender on that level, but it's rare that we see it. So those who come to perfection by the second stage, then that will be more prominent. And then the third stage will be, you know, again supportive of that. And then the fourth stage, then, you know, that's our Hindu community. Right?
Wouldn't that require the personal presence of Krishna for that to happen?
Means the name and the deity are the personal presence. The Bhagavatam's personal presence, like that. Yeah. You just hear and you think, yeah, I want to do that. But that would mean that they've done so much devotional service previously that now it's just, you know, now it just comes out. The Gyata Sukriti is there. Okay. The Vedas indicate bhakti as the action and indicate me as the meaning, right? Because the purpose that is your goal, right? So your purpose is, what's the goal? That's what goes. That's the thread that goes throughout. Why everything is there? The reason for it is because of its ultimate reason, which is the goal, right? Why you'd use something in specific? Because that will be. That will give this particular result in the process. That will therefore give you this result in the goal. Does that make sense? So Krishna is the meaning in the Vedas. I am the Okay, indicate bhakti as the action, indicate me as the meaning. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. I, as karma and jnana, am proposed and rejected as alternatives. The Vedas, taking shelter of me, proposing karma and jnana, and then rejecting them as maya, become happy by giving the devotees bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21, 42-43. Right? So, because what is karma and what is jnana when we talk about alternatives? Karma just means what the Vedas means. Bhakti is the system. Then if I only take the activity part of that and separate it off, without its connection to Krishna, knowingly, that's karma. When and in the process, you're using intelligence and discrimination in your action, but I just take only the intelligent part off without its direct connection to Krishna. That's called jnana. Right? So, even though the Vedas may be stating in sections that the karma and jnana seeming in an indirect way, it's actually talking about Krishna. So for the devotees who understand Krishna and how everything works, how he is everything, how he pervades everything, how, like this, how he's the meaning of everything, he is the action, then in the indirect meaning they can see Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So for them, they don't get bewildered by any of this. So the scriptures that directly tell about devotional service, you just follow that. But if the need in the performance of your duties, then you have to deal with indirect aspects, they have no problem either, because the indirect is going to be using karma, jnana, or a combination anyway, and that's about Krishna. So they know how to see it that way. So for them, everything is devotional service. Right? We don't separate it. because Krishna is the meaning. When something else is the meaning, our own sense gratification is the meaning. You know, either on the physical or intellectual, emotional platform, then there's another meaning. Then we don't see Krishna. Right? Let's say, like we said before, that example. You have husband and wife. So now the whole point is in that, then we could see the interaction between husband and wife. We could see that on the platform of sense gratification. So therefore, the niceness of the interaction, then the more option for sense gratification. Right? And so that would be our inspiration for following it properly. Does that make sense? So now, then you have the devotee who's advanced in spiritual knowledge, and he sees this, he's in the position of a grihastha, so it's his duty to perform that interaction nicely. Shastra says this is how it works. Why is he doing that? Not for sense gratification, but because it'll please Krishna. How it will please Krishna? Because the interaction is going according to how it's supposed to go. Right? Krishna says, this is how husband and wife interact. And so you do that to please him. Does that make sense? You know, you don't hear of in Braj that, you know, Nanda and Jashoda, everything's going nicely, and then, you know, every night, you know, at the neighbor's house is yelling and screaming and pots flying and stuff like that. You know, doors slamming and, you know, how you say, bullock carts being driven off very quickly, you know, stuff like that. You understand? None of that's going on. Because that's not going to make Krishna happy. You have an environment where it's all working nicely. You know, like that. Don't try it. It's an example. People like to be alone when they're, you know, being close, right? But you do have the phenomena where you have an area where all the couples go to be close. But they don't mind all the other because they're all doing the same thing. So it adds to the environment. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. When everybody's following the masculine feminine principle very nicely, then it creates a nice environment for Krishna in his interaction with the gopis. Does that make sense? So, therefore, it's not that we're supporting like that. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. But the principle is it pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's then why it's done. That's why it's done according to what the scriptures say. So it's a whole different way of looking at it. The senses are, you're aware of all the things, you're aware of how to apply them, but it's in connection with Krishna, not that, oh, I like engaging the senses, so therefore I'm going to use this process very nicely. That will be mixed. Or if it's just, okay, this is what Shastra recommends, following is pious, because piety you get a better result, therefore I'll enjoy more. That's the karmi. Right? But even the jnani could use it because he follows this because this is what the Shastra says, but I'll do it with detachment. So he'll get liberation from the same thing. So your karmi gets benefit, your jnani gets benefit, your mixed devotee gets benefit because he's using karma and jnani, and your pure devotee gets benefit because it's just to please Krishna. Right? That's the whole thing why the Vedic culture is recommended, because it's the only culture that you can use that it actually pleases Krishna. The other ones, they have bits and pieces. We say, oh no, but the Western culture has this and that. Where is this and that from? Did the West create it? Right? The Western culture invented marriage. Right? It was not there existing in the world. And then someone probably in the Greek culture came up with the concept. Everyone else thought, okay, that's cool. You know, I like this lady. I don't like that tomorrow she's at the neighbor's house because he also likes her. So, hey, let's work this out. You know, but, you know, at the same time, I wouldn't mind being with that guy's, you know, lady. But, you know, hey, you know, let's cut our losses here. Right? Okay, and everyone thought, okay, hey, this is a great idea. You know, and they also came up with the idea of, you know, economics, that hey, we could you know, do business, I could give you something of value for something else of an equal value, though it's different. I have something that you don't have, you have, right? They created that also, right? Isn't it? No? You mean the Westerners didn't create everything?
Perfected.
They just made it better.
Okay, yes, of course. Yeah. Didn't that concept go out in the 50s? God made it, but man made it better. With, you know, all the synthetic stuff. Does this make sense? So, here's one. So, the whole idea is that these are eternal things. So therefore, if some of them are left in the Western culture that are there from the original, then what's the problem? It's not that it's an alternative thing, that it's separate on its own, it's complete. It just has the little bits and pieces. Just like in Gotama, you do have the elements of the Shastra that talk about logic. You know, Shankya has the elements of the Shastra that talk about, you know, analysis of the elements. Yoga has that part, but it's not complete. So something may be there, but it's from where? It's from something greater, from something where it originates. That's the whole thing. Just because they don't have the history of its, you know, how you say, origination, then it doesn't mean that it's not the fact. So that's the difficulties. We think, oh, West is an alternative. No, West is just super watered down and all that, and here and there you find it. You know, it's like in India, you basically walk into most any household, ask them how is their family life working, and you'll hear the same thing. Right? And it's common. But in the West, you'd have to go to knock on quite a few doors to find someone who's been together for a while. Right? It would, because why? So there are people who do know how to make it work or have that fortune. But the problem is it's rare. But that still is from the original. Right? Does that make sense? Because like in the West, they know how to make money. And then there's people who have a comfortable family life but don't make so much money. But in India, you have people who have comfortable family life and make tons of money. Because they know the system. They're closer to the original. You understand? That's the whole thing. The point is that the India guy will delegate it and then afterwards will follow up. Well, in the West, they just want to do it all themselves. Like that. Yes?
Can you say that The destination?
You could say the destination, but basically, other than devotees, everybody is picking and choosing according to sense gratification. Now, depending on the modes, what they call sense gratification, now that's a different thing. You know what I'm saying? You have the, what do you call it? The hummingbird, which is flying around and drinking the nectar out of flowers, and for them that's sense gratification. And then you have the pig, and he's getting his sense gratification. You understand? So it's just the modes of nature. So Vedic system means it means that's the only real alternative to not working under the modes. You work with the modes, right, in its natural form. You can also be under the modes, but then you're under the modes from the mode of goodness, right? Passion and ignorance will be there, of course, but the prominence is goodness. So when you drop out of the Vedic, then it's going to be passion ignorance, or actually ignorance is, and then a few people have enough passion to generate something. You know what I'm saying? The factory worker, there's no passion. But the guy who owns the factory, there's enough passion to put the factory together, and so then all these 10,000 people in ignorance come and do some work and he gets some profit. Right? Yeah. So that's it. So the Vedic system is the only one where the goodness is the prominence, because why goodness? Not that goodness is great on its own. The only advantage is goodness is easy to take into pure goodness. Because goodness without material desire, without passion and ignorance, right, and without the desire for liberation, that becomes pure goodness. You understand? When I just want to please Krishna, right, that's pure goodness. Because I want to please myself, you know, or I don't know who myself is, that's your passion and ignorance. So that's why it's recommended. You know? That's the whole point. So all we're saying is that, okay, Krishna likes this kind of cooking, so therefore, cook that kind of cooking. Now, the best thing is you're cooking it with devotion, because that's what Krishna likes. You know, it's the devotion that's important, but he likes the devotion coming through this medium. Right? But because the devotion is the most important, then, you know, you could cook anything as long as it's with the devotion. But if you had the opportunity, why wouldn't you cook what he likes with devotion rather than what you like with devotion? Does that make sense? Yeah. And then, as a step down from that, you take out the devotion, then what would be the best alternative? Cooking what Krishna likes without devotion. Right? So therefore the karmi. It means someone who's a proper practicing Hindu is doing all the things that Krishna likes, but he's not doing it for Krishna. So now all we have to do is they have to come in contact with the devotee. And then coming in contact, then they take, then they add devotional service. Now all the things that they're already doing is their last lifestyle and that they're attached to, then now becomes the medium for devotional service. How easy is that? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's not a problem. That's why it's recommended. Well, if you're using a lifestyle that's not what Krishna likes and without devotion, now we add in the devotion, but we're still attached to doing what Krishna doesn't like. And then we're you know, how you say? Staying up late at night thinking of ways of how can I maintain that attachment to what I like that Krishna doesn't like, and try to show that it's devotional service. But the problem is as Narad Muni told Vyasadeva, people only look for what you can do and leave out the restriction. So it's, oh, you could do that, they'll take that. It doesn't mean they'll add devotion. Right? When I chant my rounds, I go to Mangalartik, you know, take Jainamrita, like that, all may you remember Krishna. But once I walk out the door of the temple and I do all those, you know, all those non-recommended activities, like that, who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for myself because it's just my habit. That's what I do. Right? I go to the toilet. I reach for the toilet paper. I don't reach for water. Right? But someone who used water, then now they're devotees, they still reach for the water. But instead of being clean just because it's goodness, now they're clean because now it's nice for Krishna. You go to the temple, you're clean. You understand? You know, and then but it's the thought, it's the this, it's the that, it's so many things like that. And yeah, and so when you're using that toilet paper, where's that, you know, great deep devotion for Krishna? Where is it? You know, where is it happening? We must remember there's a point in time when there was no toilet paper. It's a newer invention. Right? So that means before that there was water. Okay. I kind of think Chinese introduced toilet paper. Yeah, they used to get in these boxes, those big squares. It was an old kind of thing, specialized things like that. Because they invented paper, so immediately they figured out this use of paper. So I think for them it goes back like 1,000 years or something like that. But whenever it was that they figured out paper like that. The West took a little while. They were still using water or nothing at all. Right? Oh, he's back. Oh, we got 45 minutes.
So, Maharaj, if the purpose of Veda is to please Krishna,
yes,
why in the original Veda, the four Vedas, there's no mention of Krishna?
But how do you know there's no mention of Krishna?
Is Krishna's name and form? Or
okay, let's say I ask you like this. How's your wife? So, what do you say?
She's a lady.
She's a lady. Okay, I said wife, you said lady. Did either of us say her name?
Yeah, I didn't say her name.
No. Did I say your name?
No.
Did I? No. And that, and you said lady. I mean, where I'm from, we'd say, hey, how's the old lady? Yeah, that would be the actual way of saying it. Right? So there, three alternatives, and we haven't mentioned her name. You know? You know, and you'll call her whatever you call her, you know, pumpkin or, you know, whatever it is. The particular term of endearment that is works for you, you know, like that. You know, with the with all the intonations, you know, pumpkin, you know, like that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah? So, all these that we haven't said her name. So, that means we're not talking about a person. Do you catch? Can you take this logic and apply it?
We talk about a person.
Yeah, so then the Vedas are talking about Krishna. Keep the logic going. Don't just, yeah, it makes logical and all that, but then go, boom. No, because it has to say the name. No, but we're referring to all these different things like that. Yeah, that makes sense, and so apply here. Huh? You understand? That's conditioning. That's what the academy does for you. They make it where you actually can't use your logic, not in something that has a purpose. You can only use logic for fun. Right? And to keep your spot in the university and not get fired. You understand? But when it comes to that, is that when it says, Indra, who is the king of the universe? It's Krishna, not Indra. He's simply performing those duties. But the potency of king, his ability to, he's a jiva. You know, Krishna doesn't give the ability, you know, he can't even, you know, how you say, can't even talk. He sits in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if the Krishna is so important for the Veda.
Right.
So, like, that means at least he should.
Yeah, that's why every time you refer to your wife, you directly say her name, because that's so important. Right?
Yeah, like if I just...
No. You apply the intellectual process here. The point is you didn't say. You're not saying. But you're referring to the person. So all this, what it is, it's all talking about Krishna. From different aspects. He's unlimited. So it's talking about all the unlimited aspects of the Lord. Veda means it uses obscure language. That's the process. Just like in poetry, everything rhymes. Right? You have poetry in China?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some way you're having words that have the similar, you know, some kind of connection, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but does that mean that's the regular way you talk?
No.
No, but is poetry accepted as good, as authority?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even better for expression.
Yeah.
Right? So the Veda, it uses its system. Right? You know, we're just reading, oh no, that was something else. He was talking about... You know, about the water coming from all the dams, and that you can hear. Okay, so sounds far out, sounds interesting. What is the dam? Dam is where the water is held, right? So now, if we're taking water as rasa of interaction, the relationship, where are these dams? Dams are in the different relationships. Husband, wife, you know, parent, child, friend and friend. You know, but that source is coming. Where's water come from? Because a dam is only holding water that it didn't produce. The dam doesn't produce water. Mm-hmm. It only holds that. And it's not that it can just keep it and all that. It must flow through. You understand?
Yeah.
So that means water's beyond the dam. And so this is something that can be appreciated, can be seen. Okay? So all that was there in that sentence of the Veda. So it's done in that kind of poetic, intellectual kind of way. But that's what it means.
It means it's a metaphor.
No. See, something can be real in itself and have all these alternative meanings. The modern, it's either, you know, a manual on how to change your carburetor, and there is no alternative subtle points. Or it's something that's very subtle and has no solid meaning. The Veda has all of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that, oh, it's all metaphor, so we can just write it all off, it's not real. It means some of our devotee academics have already tried that. You know what I'm saying? No, these things are real. Prabhupada mentions that. That in here, when he's talking to Paranjana, you know, talking to Prachina Barhishat, he's using, you know, an allegory and using all these different things. But Narad Muni is there. Prachina Barhishat is there. The conversation is happening. And they're talking about real things that are described in the scripture. He's just putting together in such a way that the king will catch it. So it's not that, oh, it's a metaphor, so there's just, you know, it's just some kind of speech. We don't have to take it seriously. That's the trick of the academics. So we're not going to buy that. You understand? So what you have to do is understand that the way of academic thinking is what you use when you're at work. Because that's what they expect. They expect a language, a mood, and everything, and how you do all that, a particular professionalism in that. That's what you do. But when you leave the occupation, you go back to your own life, then you have to be able to think as a proper person, you know, with a Vedantic understanding. If you think the occupation goes over on this, the occupation is social. So all you have to do is socially be accepted. No one's saying that what you're saying is the absolute truth. It's what's expected. It's the modern think. The chairs talk like this. And so therefore that's what you have to do if you want a job. You understand? But it's not in any way the absolute truth. But now in your own life, then you have to be able to think in real intelligence. Because there has to be purpose. There has to be therefore application in your life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If you can make that distinction, then you'll be a good devotee and a good academic. If you can't make that distinction, then you'll be a good devotee, a bad academic. Or, the worst alternative, you'll be a good academic and a bad devotee. You understand? And why we say worst? Because the false ego is so big in an academic, they think, because I'm thinking this, I'm intelligence, this must be right. Therefore, they try to impose it on everybody else. That's why we say worse. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's a social position. But it's taken that, no, you know, it applies in the ashram. It doesn't apply at all. You know what I'm saying? You can be a nuclear physicist and can't figure out how to make the toaster work. And I'm not joking here. You know what I'm saying? So, but in the classroom, give them a blackboard and a piece of chalk, no one can keep up with them. I had one devotee telling me of a professor, he could write with both hands at once. He would have two pieces of chalk and he'd be writing the thing and drawing a picture at the same time and all that. And, he, you know, like, definitely keep the class attention, right? No one's going to fall asleep in that one. Okay. Is that okay?
I'm just going to mention that in the karmi world these days, there are some very thoughtful scientists who believe in intelligent design.
Yes.
And they've got to keep their mouths shut.
Yes, you have to. We were just hearing, I think it was last year, a year before, about some professor at Sorbonne in France. Then he made a comment about, you know, we could possibly look at the concept that maybe there is a supreme. He was fired from the university.
Yeah, yeah, immediately fired. Really? In America, it happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
There's thoughtful people who look at that idea and they have to keep them up.
Yeah.
No. In their job, they have to keep them up.
Yeah, that's the whole point. But if they're off the job, they're just as a person talking, then who cares?
Yeah, yes.
But you just can't say it in the classroom. You can't say it in when the teachers are together discussing the school. But off campus, then that's the whole point. So if you want to make academics devotee, you can't do it on campus, you do it off campus. You have to do it when it's a non-academic environment. So this idea, no, I'll become an academic and we'll change the academic world, how will that work? You know, because they can only be human when they're not being academics. That's the only time they can actually be human. Yeah. So humans become devotees, not academics. Right? But, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Footnote 28. In his commentary to this verse, Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura paraphrases the words of the Lord as he explains how he alone is the ultimate basis and purpose of all Vedic knowledge. The Vedas prescribe me. Bhakti is not different from my sarūp. Thus, the meaning is, quote, the Vedas establish that bhakti to me is necessary, end quote. Right? Because bhakti is non-different from the Lord. Right? The Vedas are talking about the Lord. Right? That's all there is. That's what you gain from the Veda. Right? So that's why Tatsu Samanvaya. This is what the Veda is talking about. It's not talking about something else. Right? Even we think it's talking about something else. It's not. Just because the wording is not there, it's not talking about something else. Let's say we're talking about Jyotish. Okay, and then, and in the Jyotish, the astronomical calculations where the planet is. Okay, why is it important to know where the planet is? Right, because the planet has some influence. Where does the potency of that influence of that planet come from? Why can we say this planet has these particular influences and not others? Right, they call it karaka. Yeah. So each planet has so many karakas, there's so many ways it influences. Right? And so but where is that coming from? From Krishna. Right? And so each planet has their deity, you know, a form of Vishnu. And that form of Vishnu, they're all expanding from Krishna. So all it's talking about is Krishna. How Krishna is affecting your life and how things are worked based upon where the planets are at the time of your birth. And then continuing that where the planets are now, how the planets now will affect the position of the planets at your birth. Right? The mechanics have to work some way. You know what I'm saying? So this is how Krishna controls your karma based on your previous actions, that therefore it's going to be about this birth. So what you did last life, that creates your karma. And then that karma put together becomes a particular chart. You appear at that particular time so that you get that karma. You understand? So that's how Krishna mechanically manages it. So we can't say it's not about Krishna. Astronomy, astrology is not about Krishna. Oh, that's just about some mundane thing. No, you can use that knowledge in a mundane way. You simply want to know, oh, when am I going to become rich and famous? So that's mundane. But if you understand it, connect, okay, well, how would that be service to know when I'll be rich and famous? If that has some devotional value, not just, I like it and I'll try to, and I'm a devotee, so therefore I'll say it's devotional. No, what's the actual point? What's the purpose of that? Because that's what Krishna says, what's the purpose? Okay, being rich and famous, how will that serve Krishna? Oh, be nice to be good, all people will listen, and this and that. And you know what I'm saying? You have to find what actually is working. So, therefore, that takes work. That takes what was before, what was the term used? Perfect understanding after careful deliberation. Most people don't like to think. Right? I think that's, what do you call it? Vidyananda Maharaj's pet peeve. No one likes to think. So he's always trying to get them to think. So that's the whole point, is that people just do. They don't think about what they're doing. So it says here, perfect understanding after careful deliberation. So we're doing this because we thought about it. Doesn't mean everybody's going to think to the same degree, but the point is one must be convinced by thinking. I've heard, I contemplate, I practice, I'm convinced. Someone simple, that would be a very straightforward process. Somebody more sophisticated or complicated gets more than that. So that's what we're trying to get to here, is that Veda's established, that bhakti is necessary. So they're talking about all these things. They're necessary. You have to do this. Right? It's the ultimate necessity. Now, all those other things, I want to get this stuff from astronomy or astrology. Then, to me, it's necessary, but actually in my relationship to Krishna, is it necessary? So if it is, then great. I've connected. If it's not, then I'm doing it. Why am I going to do it? So if I can't make, well, at least can I make the connection, the result that I'll get from that, and somehow or another connected to Krishna. Does that make sense?
One time you mentioned that for devotees, sometimes according to their chart, something meant to happen, it doesn't happen, something
that But that's a different thing.
Yeah, but that's the definition of the planets, right? Not that one planet can go from one house to another. That's why...
No, it's just... No, but that's Krishna karma.
Krishna.
That's a different thing, because he being the Lord of the planet, so he can work it out.
Unlimited varieties of prediction.
It's not about unlimited varieties. It's about what's good for you. You go into a drugstore, right? Drugstore. You can still use the term drugstore. It doesn't mean it's an opium den or something. Okay. You go into the drugstore, the pharmacy. That would be the better word. Okay. You go into the pharmacy. Okay. And how many different kinds of medicines are there? Thousands. And they're all combinations of combinations of combinations. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, but which one do you take? The one that's for you. So it's not about you're not, when you go into the pharmacy, is it about, wow, the unlimited medicine, the unlimited varieties, the unlimited options, or is it about the one that works for you? You understand? So you see the difference here? Because the other one is, oh, it could be this, we could go on thinking about this, and how Krishna is this, and it could happen that way, oh no, what's this and that, and then who am I, and what's that, you know, like that. Yeah, you understand? Yeah. So, but no, it's about Krishna's in control, and what you need is what you'll get. Now, if that's different from what the planet says right now you're going to get, then that's up to Krishna, because he's the one that controls those planets anyway. They're his servants.
And they're persons.
They're persons, yes. But the point is keep to the point. All these other things are there. But don't get distracted by the secondary and supportive information. You know what I'm saying? That you can take and connect all these things, that's very good. But if you get entangled and don't come up with the purpose as Krishna, then you're distracted. Yes? Yeah. Okay. The final goal of sacrifices and other actions is to produce bhakti for me. That's the only real purpose of it. Means you're going. Why you say final goal? That doesn't mean the in-between ones are for ourselves. It just means that on this, then you get that. Okay, I sit down and I get hungry. Okay, so that's now I want to take care of that. So then, what's that going to do? Then I'm going to decide what I want to eat. So having decided, that's a goal. I've attained something, but it's not the final goal, right? So then I have to go to the market. Well, actually, before that, I have to get some money. But whatever it is, you know, so I stop at the ATM, I get some money. Then I go to the market, I buy the goods. Then I have to get them back home, right? So the Lord, you know, the neighbor's goat doesn't find me and eat the vegetables, right? So then I get them home. Then I have to prepare them. Then I have to cook them. You understand? So all these things are going on. So then I'm going to offer to Krishna. So that's the final goal. And then, eating that takes care of that devotion and also takes care of that original point that I was hungry. which is the lesser goal. The real point is serving Krishna. And then in serving Krishna, these lesser goals are taken care of. Does that make sense? So that's why it says the final goal, because that means Krishna. It's about Krishna. So in between, there's always so many little goals. That's what we get distracted by. Oh, it's talking about this, do this. But that's for, it keeps on going. It says take your bath. Why take your bath in the morning? Is that it? You know, you sit back, I've taken my bath. You know, job well done. Like that. No, because that then you're going to go to Mangalarti. Right? So we're taking a bath as a goal, we're accomplishing it, so that for the goal of getting to Mangalarti. And what's the point of going there? To please Krishna. Does that make sense? So like that, it always keeps moving forward. Yeah? Yeah? I have said, dharmo mad bhakti krit prokto. Actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Those are actual. So it doesn't mean that the activity itself is actual or not. It's whether it's being used to get you to real devotional service. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the whole point. This is the confusing part. Because if it brings you to Krishna, then great. If it doesn't bring you to Krishna, what's the point? So that's the thing. You have the smarta, he's following the dharma, but it doesn't get him to Krishna, so it's not real dharma. It's dharma, but it's not sad-dharma. You understand? So that's the whole point. We use what's recommended. If you can connect what's not recommended to Krishna, then that's good, but that will be a temporary situation. In other words, you're in a situation where you don't have facility to use what's recommended, so you use what's not recommended, but with the proper understanding that's connection to Krishna. It just takes more work. In other words, what's recommended is easy to connect. What's not recommended, you have to go through a few more stages to get there. But you're using that. But then, because it's about pleasing Krishna, when you have the opportunity to use what's recommended, you would, because it's about Krishna. But when we have it and we reject it because, no, this works fine, that means we're attached to that form. And that's not pure devotional service. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Right? Because it goes both... You can use this both ways. But you have to know one's the recommended way because Krishna has given it. The other's not recommended, but because you don't have an alternative, you apply the principal point. You have the primary, you apply that to a non-desirable secondary. But when you have the desirable secondary, you would use it because that's what's recommended. That's what Krishna likes. Right? Krishna is a person. He likes things done in a certain way. He's unlimited, so yes, there's unlimited ways, but it's still his call on how that unlimited works. Because we have to understand is his unlimited is so far beyond our concept of unlimited that, you know, it just doesn't. So we can go within our nature, we can go into an unlimited aspect, but it's still within what's recommended. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so how, you know, Kala Bhairava and Bhadra Kali are interacting, that's between them. That's not our example. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.27. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. I am present as an alternative and am refuted as an alternative. Right? Because he's the alternative because people want to have an alternative to pure devotion. So he is the alternative. But at the same time is, he is the refutation to that alternative. Even though he is the alternative. Otherwise, why would an alternative be attractive unless it was Krishna? Right? But it's not the recommended form of Krishna. You know, like Prabhupada was in Calcutta when the Japanese were attacking. They were dropping bombs. So, that power of that explosion, that destructive power, that's Krishna. But he says it's not the attractive aspect of Krishna. You know, Krishna with his flute and, you know, threefold bending form. Now, that's an attractive form of Krishna. But him as a bomb blowing things up, that's not attractive. You understand? So, yeah? So, that's the point. It's still the alternatives are still Krishna, as you mentioned. They're just taking part of devotional. In other words, people, it's not that people aren't attracted to the secondary aspects of devotional service. They just don't want those aspects connected to Krishna. Right? Performing activity and getting results, people like that. They just don't like that the results are for Krishna. So that's why they'll try to claim it's something separate. No, it's a different work. No, but it's the same work. I'm doing the same work. I'm getting the same result. Is it for Krishna or not? If it's for Krishna, it's bhakti. It's not for Krishna, it's karma. Right? There's knowledge. I have knowledge that's about Krishna. Now, I like knowledge, but I don't like the Krishna part. So I'm using the same knowledge, but I'm not acknowledging Krishna. Right? That's jnana. It's that simple. So when you see so the alternative is the same thing without Krishna. So therefore, then that can be defeated, because the real point is this connection to Krishna. Now we think what's being defeated is the secondary aspect of karma or jnana. No, what's being defeated is the lack of an actual primary. Because the primary in karma and jnana is our own self-satisfaction. And we don't mean self meaning the soul. We mean a false ego, a false identity. I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? That's what we're defeating. Does that make sense? But the form stays the same. That's why it's recommended the Vedic. Because the alternatives are still the correct form. Right? And then we're going to now defeat that by showing how it's supposed to be used in Krishna consciousness, right? So now this brings us back to the anvikshiki, is that now when we apply logic here, we have the fourth position as you're bringing near or synthesizing the other's philosophy into your own. So now do we understand how this works? Because the original is bhakti. So that means any other philosophy you come up with, any other alternative you come up with, it's only a portion of what is the original. But what's the difference is the mentality's changed. So that means no matter what anybody says, we can absorb that into our philosophy. Because this is the original. But you have to know how to change the mentality so that the absorption comes without clinkers would be solidified slag. That makes sense? No. When you take metal and heat it, then the pure stuff goes up the top and all the impurities go down to the bottom, right? So then they pour that off and what's on. So without the impurities. Because if we don't completely adjust it, it will come with impurities. It'll come with the fragrance. Right? So that's important, is that we have our own fragrance. The form is there, but there's our fragrance. Right? The Chintabheda Veda Tattva. It has its fragrance. So one has to be able to bring things across so it doesn't carry the flavor or mood of its previous form. Because the previous form, that was what was wrong with it. Right? You understand? Now sometimes the secondary aspect, the secondary of the secondary you can't use, but the primary of the secondary you can use. You understand? But the primary of the primary is always used, that's always the essential point, and the secondary of the primary is what is recommended. That reflects into the material world, that's called the Vedic culture. Right, the secondary within the spiritual world, which for us we take everything in the spiritual world as primary, that reflects here as the secondary. But we replace the primary of Krishna's satisfaction with ourselves. So then we make ourselves the primary, and then the forms of the spiritual world that we utilize here as the secondary. Now if it has its natural form as reflected from the spiritual world, we would call that the primary of the secondary. But if we give alternatives to that, they become degraded by the modes of nature, we would say that's the secondary aspect of the secondary. So that's why sometimes what someone's doing, just like we gave the example. Is this one devotee, like mentioned, the best barber I've ever come across. Shave your whole head, not a nick, not one hair left, no pain, in like 1 minute. Perfect. Like that. So he kept from his previous occupation the primary element of how to use a knife and be expert at it. But the secondary element, that he was a butcher, that part he dropped. You understand? But still, it only becomes perfect when the primary, that being connected to Krishna, for Krishna's satisfaction, the devotees, then it becomes useful. Right? So that's what we have to be able to deal with, because it is all Krishna. You have to know how it's Krishna. Then you can discern between these parts. Right? Show me, sir. Okay, so we'll end here. Classes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.